Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And do I have a great show for you today? Did you know that women make up 59% of the college-educated entry-level workforce, but the business world still runs by men's rules, many of which remain unspoken and unclear to women, myself included? But my guest today has some tips and strategies, great ones, for women in the workplace. So women out there, whether you're working or not, you're definitely going to want to listen today. Maria Norris is the CEO and founder of MariaNorris.com, a company dedicated to helping women achieve their career goals with style and with confidence. With a distinguished career in finance, Maria has successfully navigated the male-dominated business world, and she draws on 3 decades of experience in the corporate world to coach women on how to be taken seriously, be heard, and get what they want at work. Her latest book is called The Unspoken Code, and it provides women with the tools to awaken their dreams and reach their highest goals. Now, I've never met Maria in person, but she lives in Michigan. Yay, just like me. She's married with 2 adult children, just like me, right? Yay. And I learned that she was on the board of directors at Haven, an organization in Michigan for victims of domestic violence. And Haven is an organization that I personally strongly support and advocate for, both personally, as I said, and professionally, and with my students at Oakland University. I actually teach an internship course at Oakland University, and every 2 years, at least one student interns at Haven. So immediately, as you can see, we have lots in common, and I feel very connected to Maria. So welcome to the program, Maria. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dr. Terry. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be talking to someone who is also a hometown gal. And yes. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and now reside in Bloomfield, and happy to be able to provide some tips and to connect the dots for women in the working force today across America.
Absolutely. And before we get to our tips, tell me more about your journey, Maria. You said you were born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, but I know you went to school in New York City, right? So how did you come back? What's your journey?
Yes, my journey is actually of one of humble beginnings, and I had an unusual start. I was very independent very early in life, not by choice, but I actually was living in Korea at the age of 16 for 2 years, and and then returned back to Michigan. I had my ex-husband at the time, my husband, was in the service, and I went over with him. And came from a very humble beginning, coming back to Michigan in the workforce with actually going to school at night for college, working full-time as a single mom. And I really understand.
How many children did you have? 2?
I had my son, Larry, who was born in 1976. And he was a joy. At the same time, I had to do a lot of juggling of the ball. So I certainly understand what women go through. And so in that time frame, I really was laser focused on knowing that I needed to provide a better life for my son. And in doing that, finance was always basically a household type of word in my family, because they were involved with the stock markets, and my father had a seat on the commodity exchange. So I felt very comfortable. And the key was, I really didn't know that women weren't supposed to be in finance. Back then, you know, the math and the science, it was really a minority, but I didn't understand that. I just felt very comfortable talking about it. So with that said, I ended up pursuing the career in finance. and was very surprised that I was such a minority. In fact, the first day I walked into the office that I applied for was E.F. Hutton, 95 brokers, and they were all men. And I walked
wow.
in and I...
You were the only woman or five out of 100?
The only women going into the financial business wow. as a financial advisor. Back then, we were called stockbrokers. So there were a few that came right after me, but I was the first in there in the office wanting that position. And all the other women were assistants. And so when I went and was working hard to become an advisor, I didn't understand the other side. I didn't understand that women weren't necessarily accepted in this side of the business. So I just plowed through and worked very hard. And I saw the differences of when women were successful and when they were stumbling. And I really tried to focus on helping women. So along the way, as I became a financial advisor over the years, I actually became was awarded a top 100 Barron's women's financial advisors in the country for wow. 3 years.
Congratulations.
Thank
for
you.
Doing that.
Yes.
That's a an accolade, a wonderful accolade. And before we get to the award, now how did you achieve that work home balance? And I know you help other career women do it, but you were
yes.
a single
it's
parent.
So hard.
How did you do it?
And in my book I have the first full part of it comes in three parts. And the first part is really dedicated to being able to handle it all. What do you do? How can you do this? And how do you juggle all the balls? And I refer to it as a woman holding a glass of water. Picture this. You're holding a glass of water, mm-hmm. and the glass of water has six holes, and we have five fingers. So
right.
we are covering all of those holes, and each hole represents part of our life, whether it be business, whether it be taking care of our children, whether it be taking care of family, taking care of home life, taking care of health. And all of those are a factor, and we are always going to have one of those areas that are going to be leaking.
Mm.
So we're not going to be able to cover it. So we're going to take one of those fingers.
So basically, we can't have
move
a lot
it over,
of balls up in
and then the other side is going
saying.
To leak. And it's going to be that is the way a working businesswoman's world is going to be. And it's just the way it is. And we accept it and we let go what's important, but what's not important to us, and just focus on what is important. And I also say that the men.
So when you were a single parent, though, Maria, when you were a single parent, did you understand that? I mean, did you know that one of the balls had to be leaking or one of the holes had to leak? I know when I had two young children, and I was working in Ann Arbor, and I used to leave really early in the morning and come home really late at night. Every time I would hear an ambulance, I would sort of panic and call my house because I was worried about my kids.
Yeah.
And so that work, you know, home balance is very difficult. I wasn't sure that I knew how to do both. Did you know how to do both?
Mine was more out of survival. Mm-hmm. I had no family to help me here, and I knew I had to do it on my own, and I wasn't getting any financial support from my ex-husband. So I didn't have an option. And when I came home to see my son, I knew that he was the light of my life, and I had to provide for him. So I basically, the key that I recommend for women is to just stay positive. Just look at the good every day. Every day when you get out of bed, what can I do? Not, this is what's wrong with my life. It's what can I focus on that is good and continue with steps, you know, one after the other.
I like that optimistic, positive approach. And not only does it help you then throughout your day and balance, as you say, but also it attracts others to you. People want to be around you. People like being around you. Now, you talk about the importance of cultivating the ABCs of success for women. And the A's sounds like that positive attitude. Am I on the right track?
Dr. Terry, you're spot on. A is for attitude, and that's one of the things that we can control in our life. We sure can't control the outcomes of everything we try for, and we do the very best, but we can't control that part. And so what we can control is how we are accepting of whatever situation that we're in. And you can always look at it as, you know, what's positive about this or what's negative about this. And I prefer our readers to always just focus on what's positive. And right. it is when you are positive, you're absolutely right. People want to be around you. You're energized. You're positive. You're looking for the good in the day, in the business situation, and your family situation. And one of the famous tennis players said a comment that it is to have stress is a privilege. Hmm. And so I would focus on that and saying, if I'm stressed right now, it's because I am doing something. I'm doing something, whether I'm handling balancing, I'm handling whatever I have in my life. So I want to make sure that I am realizing an appreciation for that exact, you know, stress or the exact.
Wow, that's a really different way to look at stress, Maria. I like that. You know, because you could say, I don't like my stress. I wish I didn't have stress. So by switching it to say, I'm fortunate to have stress because I'm doing something. And listeners should really hear this because different approach.
It's a quote from Billie Jean King.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that years ago, I said, I can attach myself to that because we're, if we didn't have in a stressful day, you know, what are we doing in our lives that we're lucky enough to be so busy? And just, again, trying to really hone in on that positive point.
So that is the A in the ABCs of success, a positive attitude, listener. So that's the first part in terms of cultivating success out in the workplace. What's the B and the C?
The B is behavior, and the C is confidence.
Hmm.
Let's take a moment for behavior. And what is very important is our behavior at work. And what that refers to is our work habits, our ability to keep to be the sharpest employee we possibly can. Because mm-hmm. if you are on top of your game with a positive attitude and you are doing everything that you can control as far as how you work, working hard and working smart, not having a lot of at work, you know, keeping your cell phone away. And that's hard for working women. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to check on their mm-hmm. kids. But if
right.
they're doing it in a business meeting, that's not a good thing. So really, really focusing on working smart and really being professional when you walk in the door, as hard as it is, to really put your personal life on the side. And obviously there'll be times that you have to reach out to your family, but just focus on your behavior, working hard, working smart, and that gets noticed.
Yeah, so that's great. So positive attitude, being optimistic. Second, a professional behavior, being reliable, hardworking, putting your cell phone away, keeping your personal life at home. Excellent. And confidence?
And confidence. Confidence is something that that many people think that if you don't have it from the very beginning, you can't attain it. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And if you take a look at many people, well, let's say Oprah Winfrey, for example, you would think she's obviously very confident, but in the very beginning, was she? And here she was in a diverse situation, becoming a news anchor, and here she was having to just muster that up. And so I tell women, muster it up, you know, mm-hmm. bring that confidence in. If you don't feel it, just take a moment, breathe it, know you can do it, and walk in with an attitude that you can do this.
Right.
And the perfect timing is this Wonder Woman movie. And
oh, I loved that movie. I loved watching it. You saw it too?
Yeah. And the thing is that body language is very important. And if you take a look at the body language of, they've done studies, in fact, Amy Cuddy from Harvard did the study, that they reviewed people that were being interviewed. And they said, okay, this group is going to go in just regular interviews. This group is going to do the Wonder Woman or the Superman pose mm-hmm. and stretch and walk in with their shoulders back and their heads tall and walk into the interviews. Every one of the people that were the interviewee was actually, for the interviewer, was actually going in and saying the interviewees that went in, they did not know the difference, that had that that Wonder Woman pose or that Superwoman pose, Superman pose, they were the ones that came off more confident, and the jobs were offered to them hand over than the ones that walked in without any.
Yes, I mean, body language is so important, not only how you stand, but where you look, you know, what you do with your hands. Absolutely. Now, you also talk, Maria, about dressing the part to project confidence, that self-confidence as a woman. So how should we dress with self-confidence? Are there specific examples that you can give us as women?
Absolutely. And this is an area that that has been sensitive. You know, you look at certain media channels, Fox News, for example, and the women are dressing one way. They're dressing really for the male audience. And that's a what we call a negative attention. What I teach women is to go for positive attention and dress in such a way that is professional, that doesn't, you know, flaunt cleavage or, you know, stilettos. And you dress in such a way that if your very best client came in today, that you would be very proud of how you're dressed as far as being able to project the professional image that you want to project.
And so give me an example. Do I wear a blazer? Do I not wear a dress? Or can I wear a dress?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, there's a big shift that's happened over the past really 5 to 10 years, but 5 years in particular, that the actual business suit is going away. There are business suits out there, but even Tahari, a very, very famous maker of great business suits, are really limiting their line now because women are wearing dresses with a blazer. And that's what I recommend, is a sheath dress with a great-looking blazer. And
does it matter what color, by the way?
Absolutely.
What about a color?
Color is important. Color is one area that actually shows that you have confidence. So the color red or the vibrant colors, when you wear that paired with a black blazer, for example, you're not going to be walking around with a bright blue pantsuit. No, I don't recommend that. But a snap of color, whether it be in your dress, whether it be in your blazer, dress is a better approach because it's not overwhelming. But that just shows that you have confidence. So I do highly recommend that women wear color and pair that with a blazer. And if they are in a meeting, always have a blazer on. You know, don't go in with a sleeveless dress on when you're in a business meeting. When you're at work, that's fine. But when you're
love all of this, Maria. I love it. You know, it's so interesting because I work at Oakland University and the University of Michigan as well. And I've always noticed that the women dress very professionally, but the men don't, in fact. And so I think it's interesting that regardless of where you are in any kind of work situation, women are very attuned to dress and body language and promoting self-confidence, and what they wear is all part of it.
Absolutely.
So that is fascinating. Now, what other power tips do you have for women in the workplace? We talked about the ABCs. We talked about dressing for confidence. What are some other power tips for women in the workforce?
What I want women to think about is this. We are all conditioned. And when you are in a working woman, especially in a male-dominated field, I want women to picture this and remember this. Mm-hmm. When you are, if you're walking down a football field and you see the football coaches screaming at these players, whether they be in sixth grade or they're pros, they're screaming at these guys. And I happen to live by a parochial school. I take my dog for a walk. And I hear this coach is screaming at these kids, and they were probably 6th or 7th grade. And I was turning around thinking, these boys are going to be crying because there was profanities and everything. And I turned around, and the boys just shrugged it off and said, okay, coach, tell me where to go. I'll go over here. It didn't even have an effect on them. On the same token, if you took that same coach and he was coaching women, whether it be soccer or field hockey, the women would not be having the same resilience. They would be taking it more personally. So I want women to focus on the fact that when you are on the playing field of men, that you are having to understand that that's how they roll. That's how they rock. So not that you ever change. A woman should never change who she is, but don't take things personally and keep things short. Keep the conversations. Women have much more vocabulary than men from studies that have shown that. And if we can keep the projects short to the point, and not and save the meat of the project for questions. I always say to women, give them three things: give them the title, give them the first line, and give them the last line. And then as they come up with questions, that's when you give them the meat of the proposal or what you're working on.
So basically, you're not telling women, and I think this is an important thing that we want to stress, Maria, that you're not telling women to change. They are who they are. Be confident with who they are. But in a work situation with many males, don't take things personally and keep things short, succinct. Am I getting it?
You are getting it, absolutely. And know that you, the women, are of value. And this is where the men will shake our confidence. Because if we're not rolling with the punches with the guys, or we're getting intimidated by a situation, that will affect our confidence. Across the board, I ask women, one of the things that you would like most to change in your world, in the business world? And they say, have more confidence. And a lot of that comes about when they are challenged and they are pushed away by male colleagues. So I ask women to bring that confidence in, because what women offer is a whole different balance to the corporate world. And my thoughts are this. Let's take the number 6. 2 + 4 = 6, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
3 + 3.
6 also.
So, so from a 0 to a 10 in the workplace, having men work together and women work together, make that a 12. And statistics show that having a diversified group, whether it be an executive level, a board level, a group that has more diverse people, have better financial outcomes for their shareholders and for their actual profits of a corporation.
Mm-hmm. And now what about our strengths? And we only have a few minutes left. So briefly, I know you say that women should focus on their strengths as well. So what strengths do I, as an employed woman in the workforce, bring to the workforce?
Oh, there's a laundry list, and I'll start with number
just
one.
Just a few,
yes.
Quickly, because we only have a few minutes.
We have intuition.
Okay.
We have relationship building.
Okay.
We have the ability for empathy and compassion. Mm-hmm.
And I should be focusing on these, using these as well, empathy,
Absolutely. Relationship building. Yes, bring what you have, your empathy, your caring, and bring that and weave that into your work world, and I will guarantee you that you will be promoted. I will guarantee you, and if you're promoted in your environment, official promotion. If it's 70% dysfunctional in a male environment, I recommend to get out. If it's 30 to 40%, I think you can work with 30%. So okay. I say, don't give up. Be confident. You own that place that you're in, lean in, and make it happen, and you'll be happier, and the people around you will be very fortunate to have you on their team.
Excellent. Well, I love it. The positive attitude, the professional behavior, the confidence, and how to build that confidence, as well as bringing my strengths in. Now, how do you coach women, and what kinds of clients do you see, in case our listeners want to follow you or connect with you?
Yes. I have actually, ironically, today happens to be my book launch for my book. Which is called The Unspoken Code, a no-nonsense guide for the professional businesswoman. And they can look on my website, which is www.marianorris.com, MarjaNorris.com, and they can purchase the book through all channels. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, offline, brick and mortar. And read the book and then the feedback. And I have a website that is interactive, and I have also a newsletter that goes out that will really help women to get to that next level and involved with coaching. I have connections for coaching too. I think reading this book is going to make a big difference in women's lives.
Thank you so much, Maria. It has been a pleasure. I've learned something as well in terms of my strengths and going into a male-dominated business world. And just, we appreciated your strategies and empowering women. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Terry.
And as always, thank you for listening, everyone. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, personal website, is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that is also simple, practical, and easy to implement into your life. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.